I'm Jules, and a massive welcome to our very first module for the 2-minute meal plan. So super excited about the class, and this module is the meatiest module that we're going to be covering, but it's really laying the foundation for the whole 2-minute meal planning system. So we'll dive right in. So here's what you'll discover in this video. First, we'll look at the three-step planning system. Then I'll go into detail on the 3-minute planning formula. Then we'll also cover off what a serve of protein or a main event is, which will make more sense when we get into this. And same with the serve of veg. Then finally, we'll look at 8 tips to set yourself up for success, since this is the first module. So the three-step planning system, and so I just had an important note before we get started on this. So this is my meal planning system. It's certainly not the only way you can have a quick and easy meal planning system. I'm not for a minute saying that it is the only way, but I want you to use this as a starting point to develop your own system that works for you. Remember, everyone is different, so it's super important that you tweak your system until you have something that works for you and your situation. So if you're not completely happy with something, just keep adjusting and trying new things, and eventually you'll find something that works for you. And remember, it's going to be an evolving process. So as things change in your life, you're going to need to make adjustments. So, you know, we're about to have a new baby, so I think that's probably going to change our system quite a bit. But, you know, it's part of the fun. It keeps it fresh and stops you from getting bored. So now we'll delve into what exactly is this system. So I'll just give you the high-level detail first, and then we'll go into more depth on each step in a second. So step one is to keep an ongoing list for pantry items and non-food stuff. And I'll go into more detail in a little while. Step two is to work out what you're going to need. And then step three, which is really simple, is just review what you already have in the house and subtract this from your list so that you don't end up buying too much new food. So we'll go, it sounds very simplistic on the top, but we'll delve in a bit deeper. So step one, keep an ongoing list of pantry items and non-food stuff. So all you need is somewhere to record when you're running out of things as you think of them, you know. So as you run out of washing powder, as you run out of tea or your sherry vinegar, whatever it is. And doing this hardly takes any time or effort, particularly if you're just doing it on an ongoing basis. But the thing is that it makes your shopping list writing so much more streamlined, and you're way more less likely to forget stuff. So options include one, to have an app on your phone. So I actually have an app on my iPhone, which I love. And so if I notice that I'm running out of something, I'll put the empty container, I'll leave it on the bench, and then just when I get a chance, I'll pop it in my shopping list on my phone, and then I'll put the container in the recycling, and then I know that it's there. So then when I go to do the shopping, I have a list of all the things that we're going to need. So I really love my app. I think it's brilliant. And it organizes things by, you know, I've set it up to organize things when I'm actually shopping for it, it's organized by aisle in the supermarket or by shop. So, you know, I've got deli items together, meat items together. So it's really good fun, really good fun. But you know, if that's not going to work for you, a notepad is old school, but still effective. So my mom used to swear by, she had a magnetic notepad that she had stuck on the fridge. She'd just, you know, add to that as she needed things, and then she'd take it with her when she went shopping. And of course, the other option is to use a chalkboard or a whiteboard. So this can make a really nice decorative feature in your kitchen. The downside is that you will need to copy the chalkboard or whiteboard over to your take with you list. But I have a friend who has a chalkboard. It looks really cool in her kitchen, and she just takes a photo of it using her phone before she goes shopping, and then it's all there. She doesn't have to rewrite anything or do anything special, so it works for her. So step two, so work out what you're going to need. So first thing is that we'll look at dinners, and dinners are, as you imagine, in my house and probably in your house as well. That's, they're kind of like the main meal of the day. So we spend a bit more time working out what we're going to need for dinner each day. And I've got a note here just so we'll go into more detail in the two-minute planning formula. So in the next section, I'll talk about that. So don't worry about how we're going to work out what we need for dinners. Just, it's in a separate section, but just remember that we're going to use a two-minute meal planning formula. So once you've worked it, used that formula and worked it out, then we're going to add in breakfast items. So for me, that means a carton of eggs, a couple of serves of veg, an avocado or two, maybe some yogurt, some berries, possibly some lentils or some quinoa. Then we need to add in lunches if needed. So I work from home and my Irishman comes home for lunch every day, so we're quite lucky there. So I make lunch most days. So for lunches, I tend to add in a few extra serves of veg and double one of the proteins. So for example, I might, if we're going to have chicken, I might get a whole chicken in, so we'll have leftovers to use for lunches. And I also make sure that, you know, I've got my pantry stocked with lunchtime things like canned fish, canned tuna, and lentils and chickpeas, one of my favorites. Then we need to add in snacks and treats if needed, and that'll depend on you. I just keep some roast almonds, Brazil nuts, or other nuts on hand, and that pretty much does us for snacks. We're not a massive snacking household. And then we move on to step three. So then we review what you have and subtract. So this is uber important. In the last few months, the only time I've bought way too much food was the week I went shopping on the way home from Sydney. So I didn't have a chance to check in my fridge and freezer to see what I already had. So I was just kind of guessing what I had. So this is really important to do if you want to get it right and not have any waste. So subtract leftover veg or protein ingredients. So it's a good idea to have a few things in the freezer as a buffer, and we'll talk about more about that later. But generally, at least, I have a packet of frozen peas and a few types of protein, so steak, sausages, or a whole chicken in the freezer as my buffer. But anything above that, I'll subtract it from what I'm going to need. Then we subtract leftover meals or half meals. So I usually earmark leftovers for turning into lunches, so they don't really impact on my dinner calculations. But it's just up to you. Always take that into consideration. And then I subtract any veg from the garden. So if you're lucky enough to have one, then you know that's something, another source of a veg. Then you're ready to go shopping. So I mentioned earlier the two-minute planning formula. So this is what we use to work out what we're going to need for dinner. So I've kind of come backtracked to this section. And there's two steps involved in the formula. And this does involve a bit of numbers and a bit of calculations. I'll give you a warning that it's not as tricky as it sounds. And once you get the hang of it, like, you hardly think about it at all. You know, it's just one of those things like learning to drive. At the beginning, it seems really complicated, but you'll get it. So this first step is to count the number of dinners you're going to need to shop for. And then the second step is to work out the number of types of protein, or think of them as main events, and the types of and the numbers of veg you're going to need. So the rule of thumb is, so the protein is the same as the number of dinners counted in step one. So if you're going to be home for 5 nights, but you're going to be out for 2 nights that week, you'll need 5 different types of protein for your 5 different dinners. And for veg, veg is twice the number of dinners counted in step two. So we've got 5 different types of protein for 5 different nights, we're going to need 10 different types of veg, which might seem like a lot, but this is just a place to start from, and I really encourage you again to try from here and then adapt it as you'll get the hang of what works for you and for your family. So another way to explain it, which Trudy, one of the students from last year, said, so she said, at dinner, each person will have 1 protein and 2 types of vegetables. So that's pretty much sums up the planning formula in a nutshell. So just you're probably wondering, what exactly is a serve of protein, Jules? What are you talking about? So this will vary from person to person. So be prepared to adjust according to what works for you and your family. Everyone eats different amounts of food. So these are just a starting point to give you a guide. And it's what me and my Irishman tend to eat, but, we don't have, labouring jobs and we're not, athletes, so we don't have massive appetites. So just take it as the starting point. Although if you're feeding, a lumberjack, or if my brother who eats like a horse still, I'd even consider doubling the quantities. So you'll get a feel for what works in your family. This is just a place to start. So I usually work on 200 to 250 grams per person, as like a one serve for meat, fish, poultry, etc. Same for like tofu or setian. Then I also think about a medium eggplant would usually serve about one person, and then two kind of medium large field or portobello mushrooms, or another. I love halloumi, so because it's quite rich, I tend to only go about 125 grams or 4 ounces of halloumi, and 2 to 3 eggs. Backing up, I didn't give you so the 200 to 250 grams of meat, fish, etc. That's 7 to 9 ounces. So 2 to 3 eggs, or 125 to 150 grams of cooked lentils, which is about 4 to 5 ounces. That's like things like cooked lentils, beans, chickpeas, quinoa, which works out to about 1/2 can to 3/4 can per person. Just in a regular size can. And then the other one is like dried pasta or noodles if you eat those. I usually work on around 100 grams or 4 ounces per person, but sometimes I make that a little bit less, just so I'm using other things as well. And then in terms of what is a serve of veg, so I tend to think of these in terms of like handfuls and bunches rather than exact weights. Just it's pretty flexible. So a large handful of washed salad leaves, a handful of shelled peas, snow peas or sugar snap peas, about 1/2 head of broccoli is usually good for one person, 1/2 bunch of asparagus unless they're really small, 1/4 head of cauliflower is usually good for one person, 1/2 bunch of beetroot, 1 medium potato, a zucchini, a carrot or an eggplant. About 1/8 of a big cabbage, so usually I buy them whole and just eat them. We eat them over quite a number of weeks, but usually 1/4 does 2 of us for a meal. And then another 1/2 bunch of leafy herbs such as parsley, basil or mint. I kind of consider them vegetables as well as herbs. We'll move on to 8 tips to set yourself up for success. So as I mentioned in the bonus training video, and if you haven't watched that, click on the bonus tab and you'll see there's a video there. There's also some audio you can download and a written version as well called The 6 Keys to Meal Planning Success. So I mentioned in that I recently took a fabulous online course to develop the habit of meditation. It was run by Leah Babauta from Zen Habits, who's a master at the art of developing new habits. And if you haven't checked out zenhabits.net, I really encourage you to. It's one of my favorite blogs. Anyway, it got me thinking that meal planning is really a habit in itself. There's a habit of keeping an ongoing shopping list, as well as the habit of doing a weekly, fortnightly, or every few days shop, and the planning for that as well. So it makes sense that we can apply the principles of forming a new habit to help us succeed with our meal planning. So here are some tips to set you up for success. So first, make a commitment to start. So one of the first steps is to promise yourself that you're going to develop a new habit. In the meditation class, we put our names on a spreadsheet as a form of public accountability. I found this really helpful in sticking to my new habit. So I really encourage you to pop your name in the comments below or make your own public commitment in whatever way works for you to develop your new meal planning habit. Then tip number two is to start small. I've already mentioned this, but it's really important. You want to make it as easy as possible for yourself. So for meditation, we were encouraged to start by doing just 5 minutes a day. And if that didn't work or felt too intimidating, to back it down to 1 minute or even just 30 seconds a day. The most important thing was to make it as easy as possible so that we would actually do it every day in the beginning. So let's face it, forming or changing habits is really hard work to begin with. So the best way to set yourself up for success is to make it as small and manageable and easy as possible. I think of it as the first major step is just forming the new habit. So focus on that first. And then once you've kind of got the habit into your life, that's when you work on when you're feeling confident. That's when you've adopted the habit. It's time to start getting better at the habit. But there's no rush, you know, everything in your own time. The third tip I have is to allow a takeaway or wild card night or two or more. So you'll have an idea of how much volatility your schedule usually has. Since I moved to the country, there aren't many nights when we get a better offer. So I tend not to worry about this so much. But when I was living in the city, definitely stuff would come up. You know, we'd get invitations or we'd just decide that we felt like going out. So if you think you're going to need a takeaway night or two or just a wild card night, be realistic and add these into your plan. Another thing is that if you know you have a tendency to get excited at the markets and overbuy, like I tend to do, allowing a wildcard night where you just plan to use up excess food that you've bought can work really well as well. Then tip number four, allow a buffer in your freezer. So your freezer can be invaluable for allowing a safety net of a few serves of protein and a veg or two. This takes the pressure off getting everything right in your planning and shopping system. I generally have at least some good quality sausages and some frozen peas in the freezer as my buffer, but sometimes there are chicken thigh fillets, your minced or ground beef, steak, or all of the above. The other option I often use as my buffer is buying meat direct from the grower as a local farmer who sells at the local markets, and he packs it into Cryovac packs, and these will keep in the fridge for up to 4 weeks, and they don't require defrosting, so that's an awesome buffer to have, because you can, if you don't use it 1 week, you can leave it for the next week and it's going to be fine. So moving on, tip number five, grow some herbs. So if you have brown thumbs in and no interest in gardening, please just ignore this. But just if you do have an interest, think about starting small. Buying herbs tends to be pretty expensive, and they have a really bad habit of going bad quickly. So we'll cover tips on making them last as long as possible in future modules. But growing your own makes herb keeping a lot easier. I'd suggest a pot of rosemary or thyme, as they are pretty forgiving and easy to grow. And a little bit goes a long way in your cooking, like you only need one sprig to really make a difference. If you have more space and enthusiasm, parsley, mint and basil in the summer would be my next steps. But, you know, it's really up to you. But just wanted to put that out there. Tip number six, plan some time for a pantry spring clean. So we'll cover pantry management in great detail in module 3. So you don't need to do anything with this yet, but I just wanted to give you a heads up to start making some mental notes that it will be really helpful to you if you have a pantry spring clean at some time in the not too distant future. And then tip number seven, don't expect to be perfect from the first week. So perfection can be scary. And the thing is that we don't need to have a perfect meal plan every week or even a perfect system. I prefer to aim for mostly, to keep it realistic and make it much more likely that I'll keep going rather than giving up because it's all too hard. And then our last tip is to take the first step. So decide on your preferred ongoing shopping list method. So having an ongoing shopping list that you can add to as you think of things is the best first habit to develop. Just this one simple action will make a massive difference to how much time you spend planning. It also really helps you feel on top of things. So speaking of taking action, so really encourage you to remember that insight without action is worthless. So nothing's going to change in your life until you actually take the first step. So I've created a fun sheet for you. So you can download that from the tab above, and that will walk you through step by step what you need to do to actually get your first meal planning system happening, then step number, step one, download your fun sheet from the tab above. Step one, number two, it's a long one, but not as necessarily as in-depth as you think. So have a think about your current meal planning system, and really, especially, where is it letting you down? So what would you like to, and where would you like to get to with your meal planning? I really encourage you to share your thoughts in the comments below. And then step number three is to use the fun sheet you've downloaded to try the two-minute meal planning system for yourself. And that's pretty much it. So up next we'll have module two. So I'll see you next week. Oh, and if you haven't already, don't forget to check out the daily examples. So if you click on that tab, there's an actual day-by-day examples of me doing my planning, going shopping, what I bought, and then what I cook each day for 5 days. So it gives you a really good overview of how the two-minute meal plan system works in real life. And the other thing I should mention is below this video, there's also the template recipe. So there's a heap of recipes to get you started. So, and of course, if you have any questions or comments, please just leave a comment and let me know.